And I know I have other calls. I'm going to have you hang on because I have two very special guests because it's very germane to the conversation. We're certainly going to be talking about election fatigue and COVID-19 fatigue, you know, something that we're all experiencing right now. And for the monthly visit, the first Sunday they've been with me for the last several months, I had to welcome our friends from certainly psych assets, Dr. Paula Kleiger and Lori Lumacy-Bott. Dr. Kleiger and Lori Bott, good morning, and thanks for joining me in the conference. We have a very emotional conversation this morning, don't you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're hearing a lot. You can tell we got this election, and I want to hone in on this election and COVID fatigue. I know there's a lot of stuff out there. You've heard about the name calling that's been going back and forth over the last several weeks. And people are just tired and anxious, and there's a lot of questioning in the communities in terms of whether or not politicians are doing certain things or what people are doing to affect change. And I want to give you a chance just to kind of to talk about the anxiety that people are feeling because of the election and because of COVID. This is a lot of fatigue. So you know, Dr. Kwaga, I'm going to turn over to you to kind of kick off this conversation in terms of you know, your thoughts and your perspective on how do we begin to address this issue. We know the election is over in 2 days, but it doesn't mean a winner is going to be announced immediately either. So this could go on for quite a while. I'll turn over to you to start the conversation. Dr. Paula Kleiger.
So actually, Mark, Lori, I'm going to step in. Paula and I had a conversation as we were listening to some of your guests, which is so helpful to get really a pulse on things and hear the passion in people's voices, along with the fatigue. And both of those can really exist simultaneously. They're not exclusive to one another by any means. But we do want to talk to people about how to move forward from all the divisions, all the negative ads, all the inundating media and emails and phones and at our homes and at our work. And I do like what your caller said a few minutes ago, and it's really a mirror that people need to look in. And it's psych assets, our process for change is self-study. So really that's what we're talking about, looking deeper into yourself. And even with the uncertainty, even knowing that we don't know what we want to know, how can we still step in today, tomorrow, and the next day beyond this election and beyond the unknown about the virus? There's very, you know, much similarities between these two experiences. Just the fact that they're starting together is so much. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Kleiger and I were talking about our voices and kind of looking at it from a little different perspective. So I'll ask Paula to step in here.
Well, you know, I think that the callers are really, you know, they're outspoken, strong, powerful voices. The previous caller talked about, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, take a look in the mirror first, and Lori points out very aptly that that is where we start. That is definitely where we start. And then you had a caller who says, well, you know, previously, you know, the station is all about whatever comes up. You know, whatever you want to say is a go. So, you know, one of the things we've learned in our work, one of the things we've come to understand is that our voice, every single voice is powerful. Now more than ever. And we are the media. Whether we're aware of it or not, if we're on Twitter, if we're on Instagram, if we're on Facebook, we are the media. And our voices and how we say things really matter. So one of the things Lori and I want to talk about this morning is, what is the impact of your voice? Are you aware of the effects of your voice? How you are communicating what you communicate? Because while it is true, it's really great the what we communicate, and we can have some right on the spot messages that are important, how we communicate is really also very, very important. And the way that we can tell if we're having an impact, take a look at what's the outcome. What's the outcome of what you are communicating and how you mm-hmm. use your voice. So that's one of the ways you want to step in this morning and dive into how do you use your own voice? Is it positive? Is it negative? what is the outcome? And then we can begin to look forward at how we're going to use it in the future.
Let's talk about the voice. I think what social media has done is it's given everyone a voice, right? And what I mean by that is, you think historically, I don't know, our, you know, I'm assuming we're all, the three of us are the same generation. So let's go back a few years. And we typically got our news from television, right? A newspaper and print magazines and things like that.
Exactly.
And that was it. We didn't have social media, so our views were shaped by watching Walter Cronkite on the news. Or watching locally, maybe a Bill Bonds or someone like that in Detroit, for example. But now, this voice has expanded so fast and so rapidly with social media that everybody feels like they have a voice. And I think, Paula and Lloyd, what I'm saying is, and maybe I'm wrong, it just seems like everybody's jumping on this voice. Everybody's a media person, if you will, jumping on this bandwagon and just trying to get the voices out there and start to talk over each other. And by doing that, we're not listening to each other.
And that's really what we're talking about, that we know there's divisiveness, and we know we have differences of opinion, but how can we connect with other people in the long run? And you're right, our ideas are shaped by what we invite into our lives. Our voice is shaped by what we invite into our lives. And so The key here is to have a wide landscape of information, because you need to invite as much of the story into your life, not just part of that story. And I think that's really when you talk about, you know, how our lives are shaped. I had a conversation with an individual recently, and they were talking about, you know, worried about some anxiety, but they after the election and what could possibly happen. And I said, well, where are you getting your information from? And it was, you know, Instagram and someone's opinion and not a, you know, so we had to talk about that. How do you, you know, choose what to invite into your life? So I think that's really what Paul is saying also, because our voices are shaped.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul, as we're talking about shaping voices of the problem, as the three of us are talking, again, I want to get to the fundamental stuff here, that people are just not listening to each other. It's all what's being thrown in the same room. And whoever can scream the loudest, it's what's the old phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the oil or whatever it is. And that's what it sounds like. Everybody's standing on top of the car and the tables and just screaming. And as a result, you're getting blown into the wind. So let's talk about what can people focus on that they can control that addresses that issue of all this screaming. How do we get over that? In 2 days, we've got two more days of this noise. And noise being defined as people talking over each other. What can we start to do?
Well, one of the things, I want to just stay a moment with the fact that there's so many voices in the room, because all at once. Part of this is we're all excited. You know, what did your caller say? We're all excited. We're all fatigued. We're all anxious. And we're all excited. And what happens is that I think we're all so touched by so many things that are going on that affect our individual lives that we have a lot to say, but we don't pause and step back and listen. And one of the things that social media does is it's this open doorway to say whatever you want, knowing that you may not get any feedback. So I think it's important for us to listen on all channels. This is a way we can gain some control. Start listening on all channels. Listen when we're in person with someone, a family member, so forth. Listen when we're online, remotely. Listen when we are sharing something, or think about what we're sharing in social media, and wait for real feedback, or invite feedback. Invite feedback as if it's a real conversation. So that's one of the ways we can begin to improve our voice and take control.
Yeah, and more as we talk about what can we offer today and focus on what can we control, now I'm going to hone in on the election briefly, and then we'll hone in on COVID-19. What are some of the things that we can control right now in our lives as it relates to what we can do today? I mean, what are some of the things that can help to alleviate that anxiety?
A lot of times we talk about, keep it simple. Simple helps. Simple, kind of the focus is easier. I can vote. I can focus on myself and my family. I can surround myself with people that make me feel okay in these moments. I can choose what I watch or what I don't watch. I don't have to engage in unnecessary conversations about COVID or the political things if I don't want to, because it makes me feel more anxiety-ridden. My body feels the results of that. And the other piece that really helps ground people, and we talk about this all the time in our work, and Dr. Kleiger and I really resonate with, to find meaning in your life, to find that connection to you is through connecting to others in meaningful ways. You know, just because we're dealing with politics and COVID doesn't mean people don't still need those connections. Organizations aren't still seeking people to help them with their mission. There's plenty of ways to connect in positive, meaningful things that are going to help feed yourself. And that's the key.
You know, I want to kind of piggyback on that and go back to one of the early callers who, talked about not voting and not participating. And maybe, I'm just imagining, maybe he's just depressed and really frustrated. And feeling like, even in his circles, there's no one that listens and tries to understand. So here's my suggestion. Find people who love you, because they are going to pull you in. Find your people. Find a community of people who are going to listen and want to understand with you and join you in a positive move forward. And by the way, it has to be positive. When Lori and I talk about making a difference, it's okay to shout and scream a bit. But at some point, as Mark points out, we have to come up with a solution or solution, action steps. So my suggestion to that person would be, okay, you don't really think voting is all that important, but get involved in your own way. Find a way in to step into your own purpose and calling, because you are here for a reason, and a darn good reason. So that is a way to take charge, and that is another way to be in control.
Yeah, and I think that was the point. I think when people call or say that you're part of the problem by voting, it's like, first of all, I have an issue with that. I mean, we're going to have, some 150 million people are going to be voting this year. Already 90 million have voted in advance. So are we saying 90 million people part of the problem? I mean, I love what you just said. Find your calling. And that was the point I was trying to make is that. One, have you voted in every election? No, I have not. I skipped by the few. Okay, well, that's your choice. I'm not gonna browbeat you. That's not for me to say. But substitute to what I said after that was, what are you doing to make a difference?
Exactly.
Go ahead, pick up on that comment, please. Go right ahead.
Sometimes it's just so hard to feel like you can count, that people often give up. And that's part of what I was hearing. But we're urging something different. You were going to jump in there, Lori, and say some more about that.
Again, I want to keep it simple today for people, because so much of what we're talking about is not simple. It's overwhelming. And control is about what can I do? And simple things in your daily life, when you walk in and out of a business, for example, holding the door for the person that's coming forward instead of letting it go, and having that simple exchange of, thank you, hey, have a good day. That's meaningful. That's connecting with people that are right there in front of us, not, having those blinders on. It's just me. I'm walking in. I'm walking out. I exist in this space without knowledge to anyone else. No, it's connecting. And we talked about this before. It's connecting with anyone that you engage with, whether it's the cashier at the grocery store, the person delivering the package. These are human beings that are coming in your life. There's a way to connect with them.
Absolutely. That is so right on. I mean, the power of our moment to moment connections with people are really not, are so important to keep in mind no matter what we're doing.
Yeah. We are talking to Dr. Paula Kleiger and Lori Blumenstein-Bott, and they're with Psych Assets, our monthly chat, out of Birmingham, Michigan, and New York City. And what we're doing, really, you heard the emotion in the first segment, and we've heard a lot of emotion over the last several months as it relates to the election, as it relates to COVID. We're talking about this thing called COVID and the election fatigue. And what can you do to overcome that? And you both heard me say that the election, we all know the election is Tuesday, November 3rd. Let me back up. And a lot of relationships have been lost, right, over the last several months because of this political cycle and other reasons, whatever those reasons might be. So what should people start doing on November 4th in terms of, taking a deep breath, in terms of they start to rebuild some of these relationships, but we go through a period of healing? From your political, I'm just sorry, from your professional perspective, what should people start doing on November 4th? Don't wait until January 1st, November 4th of this week.
Right. I think that your point is right on. We need to acknowledge and move to acceptance. And yes, we're all having a stage of grief right now with everything, whether it's real grief in the loss of our loved ones, real grief in the loss of our, jobs, our community, grief in terms of just, connecting with people and those losses. Those have all been a part of our life. But with grief and grieving, we do have to move to that next place. And that is that this is my world. This is the acceptance of. And so as you move to acceptance, now it opens the door to what your point was earlier, Mark, which is, can I now listen more, connect more, and in listening, be okay with hearing things that may feel a little off? But what is that person dealing with? Is it coming from grief? Is it coming from anxiety? If I listen more, then I can connect better. If I'm so worried about talking, what I'm going to say next, who's going to hear my words next, then I'm not able to connect, accept, and move forward with someone. And I think Dr. Kleiger would have more to say in that same piece.
You know, just to follow up with this, some people, do not express their grief as if it is really grief. What they do is they may withdraw, for example. They disappear. All of a sudden, they disappear and you feel like they've left you, but they're really grieving and they don't want somebody else to see the pain and suffering. Other people just get darn angry. They're cranky, they hang out with you and they show up and they have a terrible attitude and you're wondering what the heck's going on. They're grieving, but they're not aware that they are grieving. So another important thing, Mark, is to be able to pause again and invite people to talk about, you seem really cranky. You seem really upset about something. What do you think you're upset about? I'm here to listen. Or take a moment to listen. Slow it all down. Or call somebody up if they have disappeared. Do not leave people in isolation. Call them up and say, hey, you've not shown up at church. Or you haven't shown up, you leave work right away. You don't spend time. What's up with that? So connecting. Connecting in a more real and human way, as Lori is talking about, with a sense that everyone shows up differently. So grief, loss, anxiety are going to look a little bit differently for everyone.
What about this thing called distraction? And what I mean by that is, some of us have already voted, whatever the situation might be. I know I was talking to some people this weekend, and they were saying they're not even watching the news cycle anymore at this point. So what they're doing is they're distracting by watching old comedies. They're binging on the streaming services. They're watching old TV shows. Is that a good tactic? Is that a good strategy? Do you encourage people to do
absolutely.
That just to get their minds off of things, really?
Absolutely. And what happens in that is you're recharging, really. You're saying, I need to invite something that feels good to me, that resets how I feel, that resets just not my, you know, brain, but my whole body. And there is a loosening, there is a relaxation that happens when you choose to engage with things that make you feel okay. And that can be from a television show to a video game to a person that you, you know, when you hear their voice, it just resonates in a way that instantaneously makes you feel better. That's what we're talking about when we say find things in your life for you that work. That's the key.
Yeah. And I noticed as I was preparing for our conversation, you talked about some research, and you mentioned that research has shown you that giving of oneself to others has a direct effect on your lives. What do you mean by that, Dr. Kleiber?
It means that our whole our mind, our emotions, and our body respond to us giving to someone else. It kind of, what happens is empathy on all levels, through all layers of ourselves, are activated. Our brain is activated in a very, you know, positive way. Our brain cells begin to fire in very positive ways. So neurotransmitter substances, I know I'm getting heavy here, our neurotransmitter substances begin to create firing of our neurons in such a way that it's healthier. And that translates across our entire body. And so the more that we do the positive and giving, we get that back. We're going to get that positive back. And what does that do? That revitalizes us. And then we take that, and then we can share it with another person, and it builds on itself. The same thing is true if we do it on the negative side, right? So what we want to do is to identify things that are simple, as Lori said, that we can do each day that build on the positive mind, emotion, and body effect, so that we can also, in a way, give us ourselves our own medicine. It's like it's like a little dose of medicine, but it's mind, emotion, and body.
We have about 2 or 3 minutes remaining. Lori, I want to come down to you. So here we are today, November 1st, and we have 61 days remaining for the balance of this year, including today. And then we have Thanksgiving right around the corner. I understand that Thanksgiving might look different this year in terms of how people might get together. What conversations that people get together for the holidays, for Thanksgiving and now through the holiday season, whatever your faith-based is, so during the holiday season, talk to us about conversations that are acceptable or not acceptable at the Thanksgiving table later this month.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to recognize that some people are going to get stuck. They're going to get stuck in what's happening, and they're not going to let go of it as quickly as maybe you're ready to let go of it. We often tell people that when that happens, the quieter you get, the more contained that you keep yourself in that moment, they read you, and so they get quieter. And that's sort of that, you know, non-spoken message. Oftentimes, you're not going to go head-to-head to get this person to stop, because what that does is it fuels them up. So when the conversation is going to a place that you think, oh, we're getting there, it's not really where I want to go, yet, you know, notice yourself. Stand in with you. Where are you at? Look at your breathing. Look at your body. How are you fueling some of what's happening? This is where Dr. Kleiber is talking about. If we're the medium, we're using our voice, we can choose how to use that voice, just with our family as well. And that's very important.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that our families can trigger us better than anybody. There's something about about being with us.
Hit those buttons, right?
They just can go right into your heart, boom, right there. And
before I let you go, because we're up against the clock, I got to ask you one question though. Should people start reaching out? Should they start reaching out very quickly to people that they're separated from during this whole election cycle? So, in other words, they're not talking to them. Should they give them a phone call and say hello and check back in with them?
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I mean, if you feel estranged from family members, this is family. And if you know that you were having a relationship with them that might have been testy before, but you love each other and you show up for each other, and they've disappeared or they're isolated and you're not hearing from them, yes, you pick up the phone. not wait. This isn't about who holds out longest.
Outstanding.
This is what some people do. This is about you pick up the phone and you take the first move and not worry about who. There's no one winning or losing here. This is all wins.
I'm literally up against the clock. I want to thank Dr. Paul and Kleiber, Lori Boomer's team, outstanding advice again. Thank you both. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll be right. Thank you. We'll be right back in the conference room talking to Mr. Luther Keith on the top of the hour on 99 Superstation. We're in the conference room with Mark Anthony. We'll be right back.